So, hello everybody. So I'd like to thank the organizers for giving me the opportunity to talk about seasonality and the evolutionary divergence of plant parasites. Is it working? Yes. This is a joint work with Ludovic Mayret, who is in Sophie Antipolis in the southeast of France, and Magda Castel, our joint PhD student. So we have one common affiliation, which is the French National Institute for Research in Agriculture. And I'm going to talk about a paper which is going to appear in Ecology. So we are interested in biotrophic plant parasites, so often fungi, which means that they feed, grow, and reproduce on their living host plants, so they need living host tissue to reproduce. And they can cause massive damage to staple food crops. So a particular example is the potato late blight, which is caused by Phytophthora infestans, an oomycete. Here you can see these reproduction structures, sporangia containing spores that attack potato plants and can also survive through tubers. And this is the causal agent of the great famine that occurred in Ireland at the end of the 19th century. And more generally, we observe that in biotrophic plant parasites, and especially fungi, there is ubiquitous coexistence of closely related plant parasitic species, sibling species, say, and we find more and more such species or closely related genetic groups as molecular tools go forward. And so the question I address here is what are the ecological bases for evolutionary diversification in plant parasites? So it's already quite well known in ecology in general, but also in plant epidemiology, that resource heterogeneity can promote evolutionary divergence. So if there are several types of hosts and you assume that the parasite cannot reproduce as efficiently on host one and on host two, so there is trade-off between reproducing on either kind of host, then under some condition you can model this phenotypically and show that starting from a generalist population, you evolution proceeds towards a branching point where the lineages diverge, and at the end of the day you get two specialist populations. So parasites are expected to be completely specialized on their host in this case. But there are many instances in nature where we observe sibling species that are exploiting a single host. And so we cannot use this framework to explain their coexistence. And so in this work, we wanted to address whether seasonality could promote evolutionary divergence as well. The underlying idea is that for plant parasites, quite often in temperate zones, you have two seasons, one season where the host is present and one season where the host is absent, so say winter, for instance. This can be due to climatic conditions, but also to the fact that this may be cultivated plants, and during part of the year, these plants are not cultivated. And as we will see later, there is some evidence that parasites cannot be good both at exploiting their host and at surviving in the absence of their host. So we wonder whether this could lead to diversification and coexistence of several strategies. So just to have an idea of the biology of biotrophic plant parasites, here I show the life cycle of Phytophthora infestans, the potato late blight. So it infects leaves of potato plants, which can produce spores, and these zoospores can go into the soil and infect the tubers. And after harvest, there remain tubers debris into the soil. And after the winter season, this tuber debris can yield shoots that will be infected and that will initiate the infection the year after. So these are called primary infections, so from the survival form of the pathogen to host. And there is also a secondary infection cycle, so infected leaf can produce spores that can infect spores within the season. So it's quite a fast process, so the disease creates disease during the season. So there are two complementary transmission routes within the season and from season to season, primary and secondary infection routes. So to model this, we have to take into account the form under which the pathogen survives in winter, say. We call it P, like primary inoculum. And at the beginning of the season, primary inoculum can infect healthy hosts, susceptible hosts, which become infected. And these infected hosts, through secondary infection, can infect healthy hosts and become infected and so on. So one important parameter is beta, which is a secondary infection rate. At the end of the season, the host disappear. Say it is harvested, so susceptible and infected hosts disappear, and some debris of infected hosts convert into primary inoculum. This primary inoculum suffers a mortality rate, mu, during the winter. So this is also beta and mu will be the traits under consideration in this study. And then a new season begins again. So if you want to model this, you have to take into account three variables. So we are in three dimensions, and also the fact that there is a reset of the host population, so some discrete events. So at the beginning, we wanted to simplify this, and we assume that primary infections occur quite early into the season, quite fast. And this reduces to a two-dimensional compact form, and this is this approximate model that I present today. So it's composed of within-season epidemiological dynamics, which are continuous, so secondary infection cycle. And this is the mathematical translation of the biological cycle we saw earlier. So when infected hosts produce spores at a rate beta, say, that can infect susceptible hosts and become infected and so on. There is also I have to say that right now I consider two kinds of infected hosts, hosts infected by either the resident or the mutant. So the subscript I accounts for the resident or the mutant. There is also a discrete part that summarizes what happened from the end of the season to the beginning of the next season. And so at the beginning of the next season, of each season, there is density S0 of healthy hosts, which is planted. And there is a given probability for each healthy host to escape infection, which depends on the sum of the forces of primary infection of both the resident and the mutant. Among those hosts that are parasitized, they are parasitized either by the resident or the mutant, depending on the fraction of the forces of primary infections of the respective protagonist. And this force of primary infection is proportional to the number of to the density of infected individuals at the end of the last season times a given probability to survive winter. And here in red, I put a beta and mu. This will be the traits of the pathogen that are subject to evolution in the model. And there is biological evidence of negative relationships between within-season transmission, beta, secondary infection rate, and between season survival, which is inversely related to mu. This biological evidence occurs in several pathosystems in the literature. And so to take into account this trade-off, we let mu be an increasing function of beta, because mu, the mortality, is quite bad for the pathogen. And then we use an adaptive dynamic framework to address this problem. And so we consider first that the resident population is at ecological equilibrium, and we challenge it with a small mutant subpopulation. And so we assume, in this case, this is quite a dynamic equilibrium, that the resident is at a T-periodic equilibrium. And one variable of interest is S-bar, which is the mean LC host density as shaped by the resident population alone, and which faces the mutant, that the mutant faces, sorry. And this yields an invasion fitness expression here, which is the fitness of the mutant against the resident. And so the mutant can invade if his quantity is positive. In particular, it depends on the mean LC host density. And we are interested in singular traits, beta star, which are defined like this, which means that the direction of evolution is neutral. And as showed earlier in the other talks, we can show that the necessary condition for having a branching event is that the trade of function, the second derivative of the trading function is positive, so which means that the trade-off has to be convex. So everything depends on the convexity of the trade-off curve, and so it has to be concave, sorry. And so if the trade-off is convex, then starting from a given monomorphic population, there is some directional evolution up to beta star, and at the end of the day, the population stays monomorphic. But if the the trade-off is concave, then starting from a given monomorphic population, then you may experience a branching point with two lineages that diverge forever until reaching the boundaries of the feasible values of beta. So we end up with a dimorphic population in this case, one with which bets on survival but not on secondary infections, and the other way around. So what happens at the dimorphic evolutionary endpoint now? This is this picture, which is interesting. In fact, we find that there are two morphs that that coexist, here I1 and I2. And I1 is particularly good at surviving the winter, and so is particularly present during the primary infection competition phase, and is present at the beginning of the season. And I2, which was quite bad at surviving the winter, has to take some time to rise in the season, and so arrives later into the season. So there's some kind of time partitioning here. So our main conclusion is that evolution can promote temporal niche differentiation in plant parasites. Quite interestingly, there is quite recent biological evidence in several saving species in plant pathology. So, for instance, Montari and co-workers showed that there are two distinct genetic groups in the grapevine powdery mildew, A and B. And typically, at the beginning of the season, A is mostly present at the beginning of the season, but then at the end of the season, there are only B individuals, and so on from season to season. So, which means that A is quite good at surviving from season to season, and B to invade. Quite similar example also demonstrated by Fo and Despas-Lusto with the oak powdery mildew, so in forest, where there are several sibling species that are coexisting, in particular Erysiphe alphitoides and Erysiphe quercicola. And at the beginning of the season, one observes first Erysiphe quercicola, and then later into the season, one observes the appearance of alphitoides that stay up to the end of the season. And in the context of this workshop, I would like to point out one open question that we have now, which is, okay, what we did is we forgot about genetics in this model, so there is no sexual reproduction, and we wonder whether if we included sexual reproduction and some genetics into the model, if this could lead to reproductive isolation through time partitioning. So if anyone has some intuition about that, I will be pleased to talk about that. Thank you very much.
Questions? I have one question, actually. So this is a very neat model. The host population dynamics are driven by farmers. The potatoes come in each field. If you look at what happens when the host dynamics itself is driven by the parasite, because that would add another level of ecological reload to the system, whether or not it makes it easier or harder to coexist.
We've not yet looked at host population dynamics as driven by the parasites.
Right.
Just have some preliminary work with a simple, quite.
Thanks.
Great.
Well, thank you very